Good evening to everyone. Thank you for joining me. I was given this topic by Bala, and I want to thank him for giving me an opportunity to get out of work a little bit earlier and spend some time with all of you on a topic that I enjoy speaking on. And I wanted to also share this with you because this is not the kind of area that everyone is interested in. You need to have some kind of acquired taste. Sometimes you find that some of the topics that we discuss in spiritual life can either touch your heart, or you may decide, well, this is enough. That's all I can handle for now. I'm going to take my chance today with everyone. Let's see how it turns out, and I would be very happy to hear comments, questions, anything that you may have at the end of the presentation, right? Quick question. How many of you in the audience have read the Bhagavad Gita? Some of it, a bit of it, all of it? Okay, this is nice. Yes. How many of you have a copy of the Gita that you regularly keep? Okay. All right. How many of you found the Gita a little bit tricky in terms of trying to understand it? You can be honest, no issues. My hands are both up. No issue. Okay. Did you find I assume you didn't read the Gita in Sanskrit. I assume you read it in English or any of our other languages. Hindi? Sanskrit, okay. So for those who know Sanskrit, then you have an added advantage. For those of you who read the English translations, did you find the English translations a bit tricky in terms of the English?
No.
You found it simple?
Yes.
Okay, that's very good. Now, the reason I'm asking is because quite a few of the points that we speak about the soul is actually coming from the Gita. So what I'm doing today is, I'm actually just sharing with you what I have read and what has touched me. Spiritual life is very much not on an intellectual plane. We are all actually in a room full of intellectuals. So actually to bring this up is a very dicey point. But I believe that the more intellectual you are, the more intelligent you are, and you're all intelligent, that's why you're here, you will come to appreciate a scripture like the Bhagavad Gita more, because I'm sure you will realize halfway through your lives or midway through your lives that there is more to life than philosophy, than word jugglery, than mind mapping. But there's also questions that are related to the heart. And actually, spiritual life is all about the heart. It is 90% the heart and 10% intelligence. Nice to see you. You have space behind? So I'm going to start today by speaking about the science of the soul. Most of us have some idea about what the soul is, and we have heard so much about the soul. But I thought that it would be nice for us to, first of all, spend maybe a few minutes trying to get the basics from the Gita, about what the Gita says about the soul. And finally, I think the discussion should come down to one point. If you understand the science of the soul, how does it help you in your life? That should be the most important question we should ask. Otherwise, you and I would have spent 1 hour together, maybe more, but at the end of it, we would ask, is it practical? It's all nice, it's all interesting, but is it practical? So let's find out whether the Gita can put this to us in a practical way. If it is, then I hope you all go back and you reflect on it a little bit more. And maybe you pick up your Gitas and start reading it in a different light. That's what we hope. That's what I hope. Now, the first question that we ask in our scriptures is actually, who am I? though we all have different names and we all appear in this room to be of different forms, different looks, different sizes, but the truth of the matter is, the Gita says that there are few things that we are not. So I'm starting on the negative actually. I'm asking you a positive question, but I'm giving you what is stated in the Gita of which you are not. The first point the Gita tells us is that we are not actually this body. And the body is actually composed of five very material elements. You must have heard of this: fire, air, earth, water, ether. The whole world, the Hindus and the Gita says, is actually made up of a combination of five elements. You take any object in this room, it is only a permutation of five elements. It has never been that you have found a sixth element. It may be a derivative of the five elements, but it's never been proven to be a pure element on its own. So you have five gross elements in the world. But the Gita says we are not part of the five gross elements. The next thing is, the Gita also tells us that though we have three subtle elements, when I say subtle, it simply means that it is finer. It cannot be touched, but you can sense it. And there are three finer elements which comprise our body. There is the mind, which is what is basically operating for all of us at this moment. We're all trying to be still, but our minds are running. Either you are with me or you're outside the room. You could be here, but you could be very well starting to say, okay, fine, I think, you know, this was a mistake, I should go out. If that's the case, you don't have to physically leave. You can leave with your head. And that's the power of the subtle element of the mind. Mind is followed by intelligence. We say the intelligence is the next door neighbor of the mind. Intelligence gives you the ability to discriminate what is coming to you. You are now trying to discriminate what I'm trying to say. Your mind is accepting certain things, but your intelligence is starting to rationalize. Is this making sense? Is this not making sense? And you're doing it without moving. And the third is actually what we call the ego. Now, there are two types of ego. One ego is what we call the real ego. The Gita says the real ego is actually the soul. Then we often hear the ego being called false ego. The false ego is when the soul thinks it is the body. So when something is false, actually, it doesn't tend to be very positive. But the Gita tells you, you're not the five elements, you're not the three subtle elements. The Gita goes on to say that actually, all of us are not even subject to the six, what we call whips of life. And no one can deny that they have never, never, ever gone through any of these. Every day, at some point of our lives, we lament for something. We regret, we are anxious. Sometimes we think, ah, I wish I did it this way. Lamentation is part of our lives. So is illusion. Have you been in a situation where you have actually taken up something and firmly believed in a relationship or in an arrangement that you thought was correct, only to find out later that you have either been cheated or you have become disillusioned because you thought what was supposed to be did not turn out to be it? That's part of this world. Hunger, thirst. I don't know anyone who doesn't have hunger or thirst. So that is part and parcel of our existence. Infirmity. Most of us are young at the moment, so most of us are not going to be infirmed at the moment unless you have injuries. But go and ask your fathers and your mothers and your grandfathers and your grandmothers what infirmity means. And they will tell you. My grandfather always tells me to just get my steps up to the next step. It's like taking a step up the Himalayas. That's how difficult it is. Those of you who have served your elderly parents, you will know old age and infirmity is not a joke. It is becoming increasingly difficult. You put all of these together and you put the final one, death, and it assumes, the Gita assumes, that everyone goes through this. I think it's right. But the Gita says the soul doesn't go through this. The Gita also goes on to say that even though the body is prone to six different kinds of bodily transformation, yet in actuality, each and every one of us still remains as young as the day we were born. This can be tested by a simple logic. Sometimes you realize that even though you have grown very much older than you were as a child, you find that in your heart of hearts, you're still quite young. When you grow old, when you come up to 30, 40, 50, for example, I'm 40 now. But if you ask me sincerely, I still feel in my head, whether or not I'm right is wrong, it's a different story. But I still feel in my head, somewhere in my heart, I feel that I still can do all the things I could do at 20 or 30. You know, until I start running, you know, and then I realize, oh, I'm not hitting my 2.4 kilometers the way I used to. You know, until I start doing things, then I realize that the body is pulling me back. But in my heart of hearts, in my consciousness, I feel very young. I feel alive. Like they say, the will, the spirit is very much willing, but sometimes the flesh is getting weaker. So, six bodily transformations. The body takes the birth, it grows, it produces some effects. And after it produces effects, it remains for some time. And then after a while, it must dwindle. No body in this world will not dwindle. And eventually, after dwindling, everyone must die. But the Gita says, we don't die. And this is what the Gita says we are. In 2.16 of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us, and he doesn't tell it as he himself telling it. He actually quotes what we call seers of truths. He says there are great learned men in this world. They have studied the nature of the body, and they have studied the nature of the mind. They have studied the nature of the soul. And I tell you now, Arjuna, Krishna says, I declare to you that they have studied and they have come to two conclusions. The body cannot endure, but the soul can never change. It's a beautiful verse. Of the body, right, there is no endurance. You may endure for a while, but the day will come when all of us have to meet our last days. It will come. And at that point of time, your expiry date is over. But the Bhagavad Gita says, no expiry date for the soul. And for the soul, there is no change. And Krishna ends by saying that learned men have studied the nature of both, and this is their conclusion. So the Gita explains the nature of the soul this way. It says that the soul has no birth, no death. It says the soul does not come into being, has never come into being. It says that the soul is unborn, it is eternal, it is ever existing, and it is primeval. Primeval means it is very old. But when the body dies, the Gita says the soul doesn't die. If that is the case, and this is very interesting reading, some people ask this question whenever I give lectures on the soul. They always ask me, how big is the soul? Is there a way to measure the soul? Actually, the scriptures give us measurement of a soul. It's found in the Upanishad. And if you read it, it becomes a bit mind-boggling. Because it says that when you take the upper point of your hair, and if you divide it 100 parts, and again if you take each of this part, and you further divide it into 100 parts, then each part is the measurement of the dimension of the spirit soul. Now for me, that is mind-boggling. Because that means the spirit soul is very, very, very small. It's very small. But this is what the scriptures are telling us. But of course, the next question I would want to ask, and I'm sure all of you would want to ask, can we prove the existence of the soul? Can we put the soul in a lab? Can we test it? And can we derive some theories on the soul? Is it possible? How many of you were here when I told the story of the four wives? You won't go to sleep if I try again, would you? Oh, no, okay, fine. I like this story because the story comes from our scriptures. Now, there was a man, he was a king, and he had four wonderful wives. And in those days, you know, most kings had many wives. So, his first wife, the scriptures tell us, was actually a very, very, very extremely beautiful, extremely fortunate, extremely gifted lady. And the king was extremely attached to her. Wherever he went, this first wife always went with him. The second wife, greatest quality was her beauty. She was exquisite. And whenever the king wanted to visit traveling kingdoms, faraway kingdoms, he always brought his second wife along. Because it was fashionable for him to have someone looking very good next to him. The third wife was not pretty, was not really as, you know, as charismatic as the first wife, but she was a confidant. She was someone that the king could rely on. So, whenever he had problems, he would turn to her. The fourth wife was actually his well-wisher. She was the one who did all the background work, who served him, who took care of him when he was old, who took care of him when he was sick, But because she was neither gifted in knowledge or neither very wonderful to look at, the king bypassed her. She was more on the shelf, so to speak, than for any other purpose. The time came for the king to die. And the king thought, all my life I've lived with four wives. Surely now when I'm going to die, I should be entitled to ask one of my wives to follow me in death. So he turns to his first wife and he says, look, I gave you first priority in life. You should reciprocate now and you should give me first priority. So I'm going to die. Why don't you come with me? First wife says, I'm sorry. I would come with you right up to the funeral pyre. But that's as far as I can go, my lord. I have to stay behind. King gets extremely disappointed. He says, but then I have three other wives. Let me try. Turns to the second wife. Look, I've brought you everywhere, showered you with gifts, given you all the cosmetics in the world, made you look the most beautiful woman. Why don't you come with me? And she said, no, precisely for all the reasons of that you have stated, I will not come. I'm still nice. I'm still beautiful to look at. Why should I die? In fact, the moment you have died, my king, I will move on to the next handsome king and I will stay with him. The king was extremely disappointed. He turned to a third wife. He said, look, now you were more my confidant. You were with me. Now you come with me. And she said, I would love to, but who's going to take care of your kids? Who's going to take care of what you have left? I have too. And before he could ask the fourth wife turns to him and says, my lord, I have followed you. I have served you. And I'm with you through life and past death. So I will follow you, my lord. So the scriptures say, we are all like this king. This king is considered the living entity. Each one of us is a king. And we all have four wives, whether you want to believe it or not. Right? I think most of us are not married, but we still have four wives, the scriptures say. The first wife is our body, the first queen. We take our body everywhere with us, and we do everything we can to possibly enhance the body. And we make sure, you know, we take care of the body. You know, we give it nice, you know, nice grooming, nice perfuming, and whatever not, just to make sure the person next to us feels, this is quite pleasant. I don't mind sitting next to him or her. That's how we are. But the body doesn't go with the living entity when it dies. The body is either burnt, cremated, or just left. Nobody sees the body disappearing into thin air. The second wife, the scriptures tell us, are all the properties and the acquisitions that you get in your lifetime. And quite a few of us will amass quite a bit. And after we have amassed all of that, we will feel the need to want to carry them with us at the point of our death. But at that point of time, we will realize the futility of it, that we can't take anything with us. Nothing is going to go with you. If you say, deck me with beautiful jewels, all the jewels I have, you know. Put it on me, give me the best sari, give me the best clothes, and make me look very nice. But at the end of the day, we don't realize that the body is going to be burned and all the gold will melt. It's not moving anywhere. The third are all our family, relatives, friends. They are really genuine well wishers. They want to be with us, but at the point of death, they can't go with us. They can't pass with us. But the fourth wife can. Because the fourth wife actually is in us. Fourth wife has been with us from the day we are born. And the fourth wife is considered to be the soul. That is the soul. And very beautiful point that is over here is given, you know. I like this point in the scriptures. At the time of death, whatever wealth you have stays. The cows and goats, of course, this was in yesteryears. We don't often have cows and goats today as acquisitions. But you know, we have upgraded since then. But whatever we have, they will remain also. They remain in their houses. Our wives or our husbands will accompany us only to the doorway, maybe up to the funeral pyre nowadays. But after that, they must stop. The body accompanies us right up to the pyre. But once it comes up to there, only two things we carry with us. One is who we really are, that's the soul. And the other is what we have done for the whole of our lives, and that is called dharma. So, can you prove the existence of a soul? In a certain way, you can, because the scriptures tell us the soul is actually your consciousness. It is your consciousness. It is the closest word that the English vocabulary has got to the meaning of soul in Sanskrit. If you see a dead body which is lying before you, you will find that though you may have loved the person who was the dead body, nobody in their right minds, when the dead body is finished, will ever say, leave him here, I want to spend the rest of my life with him or her. It's just not in our psyche to even suggest that. We don't even think of it as being normal. Often it's considered abnormal, it's considered deviant. Yet, for the whole life, we have loved that person who's lying dead now. What did we love? The scriptures say what we loved and what we cherish was not the body, because body will go, but it was the consciousness that pervaded your body, that made you smile, that made you laugh, that made you yawn, that made you go for your holidays, that made you think. These are the things that make a person alive. And this life is consciousness. This life is your soul. Think about it. We may not be able to put this in test in a lab, but you and I know commonsensically it does have some gravity to it. Because when a person dies, there's no way you can summon back that consciousness. And you will go back home not remembering the body that was left behind, but the memories of the person that you loved. And those memories are the memories of the soul, not the memories of the body, because the body is gone. This is what the Gita talks about, the existence of the soul. But then the question we can ask, ladies and gentlemen, is this. If we are the soul, and if the Gita says we are free, we are unchanging, then the next question I would want to ask is, why don't we feel it? The Gita has given us a very encouraging point. You know, we are supposed to be free in spirit, we are supposed to be unslainable, we don't grow old. But why is it that we don't feel that? Why? The reason is given in the Gita. This is a very interesting topic that Krishna discusses right at the start of the Gita. And he says, just like the soul passes through one body from youth, childhood, boyhood, youth, up to old age or middle age, in the same way the soul is going to take on another body. It will. Maybe not now, but as soon as it's finished the purpose for which it has occupied one body, the soul moves to the next body. And the reason why it moves is very simple. Because we all have an identity crisis. This is what the Gita concludes. The Gita says the reason why you and I are not jumping up and down and saying, I feel like the spirit soul, is because we actually believe we are this body. Years and years of conditioning, years and years of association with this flesh, and years of lack of knowledge of who we are, has made us conditioned to believe. Just like an actor who's on the stage, you know. He's acting his role so superbly. Maybe he wins a Tony on stage. Maybe he wins an Oscar because he's in a film. But at the end of the day, no matter what a great method acting actor he is, the fact is he goes back to his daily personality. He knows he's so and so, and he's not the actor. He will never come out and walk around as if he's that role for the rest of his life. But we are doing that. The Gita says we are doing that for maybe 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. And when you do that for the rest of your life, you become conditioned. You become conditioned. And conditioning means we identify ourselves with the happiness and the distress of the world. When something makes you happy, the body believes that it is actually affecting the body. When something makes us distress, we immediately identify ourselves with the distress, but we don't realize that the distress is not actually affecting the soul, but it's actually affecting the mind, the intelligence, and the ego. And when that mind, intelligence, and ego is affected, your bodily health goes down. Have you realized that there is a very beautiful link between health of the mind and health of the body? All of you, you know, I'm sure you have deadlines, and I'm sure you have to work and work and be very stressed out. I'm sure you find that the days you are stressed out, you're starting to have your flu, your sneezes. For those of you who have sinus like me, then you find that you start having all your attacks in the morning. And at the end of the day, you're wiped out because you're stressed. So when the mind is not healthy, the body is not healthy. But when the soul is healthy, mind is at peace. And body is correspondingly, naturally, without separate endeavor, it becomes happy. The analogy that scriptures give us is the fish out of water. Krishna says in Bhagavatam, not in Bhagavad Gita, he says very nicely that if you take a fish out of water, okay, and you put him on land, now you give him cakes, you give him sweets, right? You give him a nice house, you give him AC, and you give him everything, all the possible luxuries that you and I like. I guarantee you the fish is not going to be happy. Because he'll say, I don't need anything of this sort. I only want water. That's all I want. Then I'm peaceful. So Bhagavatam tells us we are like the fish. Actually, what we want is a link to our real self. What we want is actually peace. Every one of you is sitting here because of an innate desire to find something more in your life. Nothing else. Whether you achieve it or not is not the point. But the quest has begun. And the quest has begun because deep in you, your consciousness actually realizes that there is more to life than what you're doing. That there must be some kind of happiness in life, which is not just happiness dependent on an external circumstance, but happiness which comes from within. There's a difference. There is a difference. If Bala and I were going to meet for a show tomorrow, and then he doesn't turn up, and I go watch the show alone, and I am not so happy because I actually wanted his companionship. He's a good friend of mine. I like to watch it with him. Now, my happiness was dependent on him turning up for the show. If he doesn't turn up, half my happiness is gone. Now I tell my mind, never mind, the show is still there. I can watch it. And that's how our happiness is pegged to everything else in this world, which itself is not permanent. If you hold on to something which is not permanent, how can you be permanent? And how can you derive anything permanent from something which is temporary? But Bhagavad Gita tells us that if you want of the stanza, remember what in chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then, it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step, and then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then, it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is, I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. Come out of your own comfortable life, Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Come out of your own comfortable life, Start thinking of others. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this. of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is, I may look like a devotee, but what's the point if innately my behavior is serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk and serving others more than I serve my senses? That up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing. I may look like a devotee, but what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell us, by doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step, and then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee, am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a, by doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is, I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is I may look like a devotee, but what's the point if innately my behavior is still, I may look like a devotee, but what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is I may look like a devotee, but what's the point if innately my behavior is serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. There is a step, and then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk and serving others more than I serve my senses? That up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell step, and then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the more serving others more than I serve my senses. That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a so, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is selfish. Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. Selfish. Then it's hypocrisy to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, you know, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. But what's the point if innately my behavior is still selfish? Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start selfish. Then it's hypocrisy. I may look like I'm a devotee. Am I walking the talk? And the most important symptom of walking the talk is, am I serving others more than I serve my senses? That is actually the starting point of spiritual life. Thank you for bringing this of the stanza. Remember what Nimai was bringing up. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell you to become a great devotee of the Lord. He says you can start. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. In chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't immediately tell. Start by first doing something for others. Forget yourself. Come out of your own comfortable life, you know. Start thinking of others. By doing that, you develop a natural spirit of renunciation. That is a step. And then another step, and another step towards God. So, this is a good point. The problem sometimes is we may appear to be devotees. I may be wearing a nice, devotee attire. I may look like a devotee. Come out of your own comfortable.